Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 80, The Brahmin Sudama Visits Lord Krishna in Dwarka. This chapter relates how Lord Krishna worshipped his Brahmin friend Sudama, who came to his palace seeking charity, and how the two of them discussed the pastimes they had shared while living at the home of their spiritual master, Sandipani Muni. The Brahmana Sudama, a personal friend of Lord Krishna's, was completely free of material desires. He maintained himself and his wife with whatever came of its own accord, and thus they were poverty-stricken. One day, Sudama's wife, unable to find any food to prepare for her husband, went to him and asked that he visit his friend Krishna in Dwarka and beg some charity. Sudama was reluctant, but when she persisted, he agreed to go, reflecting that an opportunity to see the Lord was extremely auspicious. His wife begged a few handfuls of flattened rice as a gift for Sri Krishna, and Sudama set off for Dwarka. As Sudama approached the palace of Lord Krishna's principal wife, Rukmini Devi, the Lord saw him from a distance. Krishna immediately rose from his seat on Rukmini's bed and embraced his friend with great joy. Then he sat Sudama down on the bed, washed his feet with his own hands, and sprinkled the wash water on his head. After this, he presented him with various gifts and worshipped him with incense, lamps, and so on. Meanwhile, Rukmini fanned the shabbily dressed Brahmin with a yak-tail whisk. All of this astonished the residents of the palace. Lord Sri Krishna then took the hand of his friend, and the two of them reminisced about the things they had done together long ago while living in the school of their spiritual master. Sudama pointed out that Krishna engages in the pastime of acquiring, an education, only to set an example for human society. Is this loud enough to be heard in the back? No. Not really. How is it now? Better? That's a yes, right? I can't see that far back, so just give us a yes or a no. Yes, okay. Good. Sri Rajavacha Bhagavan Yani Chanyani Mukundasya Mahatmanaha Viryani Ananta Viryasya Shrotum Ichchami He Prabho Sri Rajavacha Bhagavan Yani Chanyani Mukundasya Mahatmanaha Viryanyananta Viryasya Shrotumichchami He Prabho Sri Rajavacha Bhagavan Yani Chanyani Mukundasya Mahatmanaha Viryanyananta Viryasya Shrotumichchami He Prabho. Sri Rajavacha
Kanyani Kanyani Mahatmanaha Kanyani Kriyasya Shrotabhyasa Kripava Tasya Mahatmanaha Vriyanyananta Viryasya Shrotamichchami He Prabho Shri Raja Vacha Shri Raja Vacha Sri Raja Uvacha, the king Parikshit said, Bhagavan, my lord, Shukadeva Goswami, Yani, which, Cha, and, Anyani, others, Mukundasya, of Lord Krishna, Maha Atmanaha, the Supreme Soul, Viryani, valorous deeds, Ananta, unlimited, Viryasya, whose valor, Shrotum, to hear, Ichchami, I wish, Hey Prabho, O Master. King Parikshit said, my Lord, O Master, I wish to hear about other valorous deeds performed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mukunda, whose valor is unlimited. Next verse. Konu Shutva Sakrit Brahman Uttama Shloka Satkataha Virameta visheshagyo vishanna kama marganaihi. O Brahmana, how could anyone who knows the essence of life and is disgusted with endeavoring for sense gratification give up the transcendental topics of Lord Uttama Shloka after hearing them repeatedly? Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti comments herein, that we see many persons who, even after hearing the topics of the Lord repeatedly, give up their spiritual dedication. The Acharya replies that the word visheshagya is therefore significant here. Those who have actually understood the essence of life do not give up Krishna consciousness. A further qualification is to be vishannaha, kama marga naihi, disgusted with material sense gratification. These two qualities are complementary. One who has experienced the real taste of Krishna consciousness automatically becomes disgusted with the inferior taste of material pleasure. such a genuine hearer of the topics of Krishna cannot give up hearing about the Lord's fascinating pastimes. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mayam Tadhati Shapatantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalang Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Shagrashatam Sahagana Raganathan Vitam Stam Sajivam Shadvaitam Shavadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamstra He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Vandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kam Shana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hodi Priye Vansha Kolpatarubhyascha Kripasindhau Vyayevacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Shadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Bhagavan Yani, Chanyani, Mukundasya Mahatmanaha Viryanyananta viryasya shrotum ichchami he prabho. The sages understood that now the topics concerning Lord Baladev had come to an end. And so now they're expressing their eagerness to hear more topics about Lord Krishna. Anantavirya, the person, not the sages are expressing their eagerness, Parikshit Maharaj is expressing his eagerness. The sages, the Lord is Anantavirya. He has unlimited prowess, unlimited power, and the king, therefore, wanted to hear more about his viryani, his valorous deeds. A person who's powerful will perform powerful activities. And he's the personality of Godhead who gives liberation, Mukunda. So, Shrotum Ichchami, I wish to hear more. Konu Shrutva Sakrit Brahman Uttama Shloka Satkata Virameta Vishesha Gyo Vishanna Kama Marganai. Who can desist Virameta? Who can leave these topics aside after hearing about them again and again? Material topics heard about again and again become boring, dry and unpalatable. But, of course, not for the materialists. The materialist can go on chewing the chewed again and again and find out some way to suck out a little bit of a few drops of pleasure and say, yes, that was good. Or like the camel chewing on its own on thorns that cut its tongue and getting a little blood. So the materialists find it difficult to give up material topics, and the devotees find it difficult to give up spiritual topics. Ko nu shudva asakrit brahma? It's a rhetorical question. Who could give up? He's not actually asking for an actual answer. What kind of person could give up? But it's a rhetorical question. Who could possibly give up these wonderful topics? Satkata, eternal topics, valuable topics. Who could give up these valuable topics, having heard about them again and again? Uttama shloka satkata, about the personality of Godhead who's glorified with transcendental verses. Uttama shloka, verses that are beyond the purview of the material energy. Vishesha gya, how could one who's vishesha gya possibly give up these topics? Vishesha gya, one who knows the specific characteristics of Krishna, or one who knows the essence of life, one who knows how special Krishna is, vishesha gya, how could he possibly give up this satkata? Vishesha gya and vishanna kama marganai. These are the two qualifications mentioned. They're described in the purport as complementary. Vishesha gya, to appreciate the name, form, qualities, and pastimes of Krishna. And vishanna kama marganai, and to be disgusted with the path of sense gratification. Vishanna, disgusted, our English word disgust, this gust part of the word means having a taste. So disgust, an opposite taste, like salt in the sweet rice. A nasty taste, most unpalatable. For the materialist, sense gratification is what they have a taste for. Of course, the taste is deceptive because it tastes like nectar in the beginning, but at the end it's like poison. Vishayendriya samyogad yattad agre mritopamam pariname vishamiva tatsukam rajasam smritam. This is happiness in the mode of passion. It seems to give some taste of enjoyment, but at the end it's just like poison. So a Krishna conscious person realizes this. What taste is there in sense gratification? Just a bad taste. He becomes disgusted. That's difficult for the conditioned soul because we've come here to enjoy. What is that? Isharoham maham bhogi siddhoham balavan sukhi. We have these two interests, to control the material energy and to enjoy. That's the essence of the material project. And to become disgusted with this project is the qualification of the Krishna conscious person. What can I control? And what is the use of trying to control for my enjoyment? What enjoyment will I get? He's realized that what happiness have I gotten from the material energy? What happiness is anyone else getting? We're just getting kicked in the face by Maya. So he becomes disgusted. He becomes disgusted. That's Vishanna Kama Margana. And at the same time, Vishesha Gya. This helps him become disgusted. A person who has no taste for anything better thinks, well, anyway, something. Or he thinks this is it. But a person who has a higher taste, Rasovarjam Rasopyasya, Param Drishtva Nivartate, he knows this is garbage. Why should I take pleasure there? Okova Bhagavatastasya. In the first canto, a similar verse. What is that? Kova Bhagavatastasya Punyashloke Jakarmanaha Shuddhi Kamo Nishvinuyad Yasha Kalimalapaham. The sages told Sutta Goswami, Kova, who is there? Same thing. Kova Bhagavatastasya Punyashloke Jakarmanaha. Who is there? Shuddhi Kamo, desiring purification from all the nasty business of material existence and Kali Yuga. Who is there that desires to be purified of these, of this junk, that would not hear about Krishna? Kova Bhagavatastasya Punya Shlokeja Karmana. Same thing. Uttama Shloka, Punya Shloka, Punya Shlokeja Karmana. His activities are the topics of transcendental verses, pious verses. Shudikamo Nashranuyat. Who is there that would refuse to hear about these topics? Yasha Kalimalapaham. These glories of the Lord, which are Kalimalapaham, Kalimala, the filth of Kali Yuga, can all be taken away by this transcendental glorification of Krishna. So these books of Krishna consciousness, or these topics of Krishna, are the means for driving away the nastiness of Kali Yuga. People are afflicted by a nasty civilization, so-called civilization, which is not only dull, but nasty. Not only dull, but nasty in so many ways. Kali Sattvahara Pumsam. Prabhupada translates Kali Yuga, which deteriorates all the good qualities of the human being. Then you're left with animals in human bodies, and vicious animals at that. So this vicious animalistic influence of Kali Yuga can be driven away by Srimad Bhagavatam. And therefore, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam is essential. Okay, questions? Yes. Microphone is grants authority. When it's turned on.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. You're speaking about that frustration. How does that frustration or that disgust with the material world and its seemingly endless opportunities manifest in the life of a mature devotee?
Say that again. The seemingly endless opportunity. How does that disgust manifest? Even what to speak of a mature devotee, even a fortunate materialist becomes disgusted with material life. Even a fortunate materialist, he tries, gets kicked in the teeth by his first wife, he gets kicked in the teeth by his second wife, gets kicked in the teeth by his third wife. At some point he says, He tries to enjoy this way, he tries to enjoy that way. And Maya's kicking him right and left. If he's fortunate, he becomes disgusted. A lot of, actually, modern life is based on disgust, but anger. I tried to enjoy and I couldn't enjoy. I tried to enjoy and I couldn't enjoy. And then it's your fault, it's your fault, it's your fault, it's your fault, it's her fault, it's his fault, it's their fault. But a kind of anger, it's described in Bhagavatam, anger after frustration. So a person who's less fortunate becomes frustrated, but angry, and tries to enjoy again by vicious means or by force or by persistence or by surrender, by one way or another way. He's trying to enjoy this material energy. I couldn't make it as a girl. Let me be a man. I couldn't make it as a man. Let me be a woman. They're so frustrated. I can't enjoy as a woman. Let me be a man. I couldn't enjoy as a man. Let me become a woman. I know of one gentleman who couldn't enjoy as a man, so he became a woman, and then he couldn't enjoy as a woman, and he wanted to become a man again. The process was very difficult to reverse. But this is how cruel Maya is. Can't enjoy this way. But so a person who's sinful doesn't get it. He gets frustrated and still he tries A, he tries B, he tries C, he tries D. But a fortunate person, a person who's gotten a little of Krishna's mercy or the mercy of the devotees or has some background of pious activities, when he becomes frustrated, he gets the idea. Life is frustrating. The world is set up in such a way that I can't enjoy. He gets it. What is the use of trying to enjoy this world? And if he's still more fortunate, then he thinks, let me turn toward God, let me turn toward spiritual realization. Of course, the Mayavadis are on that principle. They try to enjoy this material world, and when they can't enjoy, they say it's all false. Since I couldn't enjoy it, it's all illusion. They go that way. Oh, at least that's a start. They're frustrated with the material world. They declare it all false. There's no enjoyment here. It's all illusory. Good. But they don't know the positive side. Punyashlokeja karmana, the transcendental activities of Krishna. Viryasya Ananta, the unlimited glories of Krishna, are not manifest to the Mayavadis because of their attachment to an impersonal idea, or because they're thinking, still I can enjoy, I can merge with the Absolute, I can become one with the Absolute, I could become God, this, that. So on account of that impiety, after becoming frustrated with Maya, they take up the frustrating path of impersonalism. It's also frustrating because you can't merge with God. You can't become God. So they've turned from the path of material frustration to the path of spiritual frustration. You can't even, what is that? Patantyadho nadrita yushmadangre, because they ignore the lotus feet of Krishna. Even if they attain their cherished goal of liberation, they fall down again, frustrated. So the Parikshit says, ko vakva, ko nu, who is there who would not hear about the glorious activities of Krishna and in that way become, as you say, a mature devotee, so that he's really disgusted. One way is by frustration. Another way is just by appreciation. The relish of Krishna's activities, his name, his form, are just so nice. That what is that? What is this nasty business? You know, like if you've got kheer and samosas and someone were to put a plate of worms in front of you. What is that? You're just not interested.
Thank you, Maharaj. So is the experience of frustration a necessary prerequisite to fully embrace the path of bhakti?
One doesn't have to go the whole... Well, from one point of view, yes. One has to... Everyone is trying to enjoy. So, one way is it doesn't work. Or the other way is, it ain't worth anything. Fortunate person, he just says... What is that? If he's very pious, if he's very fortunate, he looks at that enjoyment and says, why should I do that? What are people doing? Whoa. He doesn't even take to it. He just looks at it and says, bad. That's very fortunate. Otherwise, for most people, fortunate means they try it, it doesn't work, they try it, it doesn't work, they try it, it doesn't work. Then they say, what is that?
Maharaj, how to develop higher taste?
You have to speak unhygienically close into the microphone.
Maharaj, how to develop higher taste?
Hear about Krishna. Chant Hare Krishna. Associate with devotees of Krishna. Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam. Read Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of devotees.
We hear so many stories about, like you were reading about Sudama Brahmana, how he and his wife were without food, they were practically starving, and Kulavecha Sridhar, hardly anything. So many people were not eating much. I find sometimes that if I miss even one meal, sometimes my energy is quite down, and I'm not able to do much. So I'm wondering about some of these stories about normal people. I mean, they're not normal. They're all wonderful devotees and very powerful, but still the material body is there. And you read about these people who aren't hardly eating. I'm just wondering if there's some secret that they know that I don't, or there's something that even when you don't have material facilities or you're lacking sleep or lacking food, that you can still have spiritual energy to keep doing what your service is.
One thing is that they weren't out there fighting wars or
working like asses. For that, you have to eat big. You have to have a lot of calories to burn up. Sudama Brahmana, he's a Brahmana. What does he do? He studies, he reads Vedic literature, he chants. So for that, you don't need halava for breakfast. So that's one thing, that he's in a low octane engagement. It's not this heavy duty ass work, it's brain work. So it doesn't need a lot of food, and sometimes even a lot of food gets in the way. For the person who's working like an ass, the more food the better, and then he'll work it off in the next 2 hours. But for a scholar or a sage, if he sits down to a big spread of food, his mind goes to sleep. And then he's useless for his brahminical work. So the Brahmins are accustomed to eating less. Now, sometimes it becomes very less, as in the case of Sudama Brahman, practically starving, so that his wife was concerned that, you know, he's like shaking practically. But all right, we'd rather starve than take up work in an office or become someone's employee. Better to starve.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. When we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, when discussed among devotees, it is nourishing. But when we go out for preaching programs and we face non-devotee audience, it appears that it is, our energy is completely depleted and we feel exhausted.
No, it shouldn't be. Prabhupada, we saw that by preaching to the non-devotees, he got more energy. Here in Bombay, in Prabhupada's, not exactly his last days, but I think his last preaching visit, his last visit to Bombay, he was so weak, he was also not eating, he was so very weak, but he wanted to come to the program that had been arranged, preaching program, I forget, Cross Maidan or wherever it was. And he was so weak that Bhavananda and Tamal Krishna Maharaj had to carry him onto this platform. I mean, like a bag of potatoes, you know, just carrying Prabhupada and depositing him on the asana. Then his energy was so less. Then Prabhupada just had, I forget, maybe Bhavananda just read. So he's reading, I think, second canto. Reading something, something reading. And Prabhupada says two or three words. Then reading more. Then Prabhupada says a little more. Reading more. And Prabhupada, by the end of the short while, Prabhupada was roaring. That was the topic. Svavidvarahostra karaya samstutap purushapashu. Men who are like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses glorify some similar dog, hog, camel, or ass who's not interested in the glories of Krishna. And Prabhupada got so enthusiastic about the topic that he was roaring. And this is all to a non-devotee audience. Of course, the devotees were there. But his focus was the outsiders. So from a starting point of total depletion, he came to the point of just being like a tiger. And then he called for questions. And then smashed people right and left. It was fantastic. But my point is,
It wasn't that Prabhupada, no, I have to sit in a room with some, you know, like Ramananda Roy and Sikhi Mahiti and Swarup Damodar, you know, three or four select devotees and hear selected topics from Bhagavatam, confidential relish. Prabhupada was relishing speaking boldly from Bhagavatam to the public. Sva, Vid, Varaha, Ustra, Karai, dogs, hogs, camels, asses. That, for Prabhupada, that was relishable. Prabhupada said, I want the benediction of being like Arjuna and dying on the battlefield. On the battlefield, not in the select company. No, Bhishma. Arjuna didn't die on the battlefield. So yes, on the other side, we do appreciate Bhagavatam. It's relishable in the company of the devotees, but it's also relishable spoken to the public. Kali Malapam. When it's spoken to the public, they can become purified, and then they can also become devotees. What could be better than that? Yasha Kali Malapa.
Hare Krishna.
Okay, you're there. Right.
We are discussing with the question of Navin Nirat Prabhu. Mm-hmm. Disgusting about material enjoyment. Disgust. So many times we see with devotees or ourselves or even to the students when we preach to them, they become very serious. Our devotees are very serious in Krishna consciousness. But still, their taste for material enjoyment remains for quite some long time, maybe many years. And maybe it may be sometimes some sinful activities also, but they are very steady in their sadhana bhakti. So, at the same time in Bhagavad Gita, there are verses like Api Cheta Sudara Charo Bhajante Mam. And even I was reading Yamraj telling in Yamdutas that devotees generally don't commit sinful activities. But even if they commit, Yamdutas, you don't go nearby them. So how such devotees, they can progress further and actually get over their bad habits of sinful activities or enjoyment?
This is students especially?
Yeah, I am more discussing with students, but they are serious.
Basically, Prabhupada said they should be married. That's the big problem. I mean, what is the big problem with student life? It's a simple three-letter word. Right? It's all about sex. It's all about sex. Our educational system is a system of degradation, which puts young men and young women together and educates them. Yes, they get an education, but it's not the kind of education that a human being should get. That's your... the problem with your universities. So, simple thing, they should, Prabhupada said in Bhagavatam, fine if they go to university, but they should be married. As the term goes, settled up. Not that everyone will be brahmachari. If they remain brahmacharis, it's wonderful. Otherwise, get married and live like a human being. And chant Hare Krishna and do all of those things. But don't be a cat or dog. University approved cat or dog. Is that okay?
Krishna Prabhuji. Maharaj Hare Krishna. My question is very basic regarding Srimad Bhagavatam.
Your question is very tasty?
Very basic.
Oh, I thought it was very tasty. Good, I could use some tasty questions here.
Maybe tasty also. It is written in Mahatmya of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It is written in the Skand Puran, in Vishnu Puran, about Srimad Bhagavatam, glorification of Srimad Bhagavatam. But whereas I have read that Vyasadeva wrote all the four Vedas, 17 Puranas, and 108 and more plus Upanishads, and even Brahma Sutra before writing this Srimad Bhagavatam. That means he has finished all this work before writing Srimad Bhagavatam. Then how come glorification of Srimad Bhagavatam is there in the Skanda Purana and in the Vishnu Purana? This is the basic question, Maharaj.
Oh, tasty. I don't know. Bhagavatam is eternal, of course. But how it's there, I don't know. I don't have an answer. Maybe I'll think of one later. There's some questions in the back. Ladies have some questions.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. You spoke about frustration. I want to ask about old age, which is
about
really
old age.
Which is really frustrating. So how for a devotee we can overcome this frustration of old age, and how can we really go on in spiritual life?
Old age is frustrating for those who want to enjoy. Prabhupada gave the example that he saw in Paris that there were some old men paying money to go to a club and associate with young women. What will they enjoy in old age? You know, they don't even have the equipment for enjoyment. You know, the basic machinery doesn't work. And so it's incredibly frustrating because their whole life is, all their happiness is predicated on this idea of sense enjoyment, and their senses are falling apart. They worked their whole life to come to a high platform, and now that they've maybe got some means, they can't enjoy. And they're stuck on it because this is what they've dedicated themselves to. Kamo papoga panama etabhidati nishchita. That there's nothing higher than enjoyment of the senses. And now I can't get it because I'm old. So they're just on a straight highway to frustration. But for the devotee, it's a blessing. Yeah. If my senses don't work for material sense enjoyment, well, good, finally. He looks at the situation and says, maybe some beautiful young girl. Well, what beautiful young girl would want to have anything to do with an old piece of garbage like me? And what kind of enjoyment would I get in my old age? He looks at the whole thing and says, well, I can't get much happiness from sex. I can't get much happiness from this. I can't get much happiness from that. I can't, you know, the whole body is useless for happiness. Forget that project. But he's happy about it. The project won't work. That's wonderful for a devotee. For the person who's detached, it's not a problem at all. It's a benediction. And for the person who's attached, it's misery.
But Maharaj, besides enjoyment, I'm asking about the pain, all physical part. So how with the physical part, one develops that taste to go on and on for spiritual life? Because as for the pain is concerned,
as far as pain is concerned, you really want to get off the bodily platform. Yeah. Prabhupada taught us, you're not this body. What better time to realize that than when you're feeling pain? Pain means by association with this body. And association with the mind. So the materialist intensely identifies with his body, and he's focused on what his body is feeling, and he wants it to be feeling
wonderful stuff, but instead that body that he's on, whose senses he's so focused, is sending him messages of misery. And he's paying attention to those messages. He's focused on every pinprick he feels. This is me. But if I'm not this body, then the pain doesn't pertain to me. It pertains to this body, which I'm not. And it's felt by the mind, which I'm not. So it's an impetus for the devotee to detach himself, not only in theory, but in practice or fact, from this body. We all do that. We have the experience of being detached from the body in the course of our natural life, but it doesn't stick. For example, how many people have gone through some papers, files, and this and that, and only after you've finished your work do you realize that you got a paper cut? You know what a paper cut is? How many have you had that experience? That after the work is done, you realize that you had a paper cut, or you were running, and only after you finished the race did you realize that you bruised your ankle, or whatever it was. Only after you finished the work did you realize, and then you feel pain. Then you feel pain. Why? Because now your mind is on it. As long as your mind was on something else, you didn't feel it. And now that your mind is no longer engaged, So a person in old age or any time who's subject to pain would do very well to turn his mind away from the body and toward Krishna, toward the spirit soul, and ultimately toward Krishna. What does this pain have to do with me? Why should my mind be focused on that? You can imagine Parikshit Maharaj. He was in pain. He wasn't eating, wasn't drinking. That causes pain to the body. But he said, I'm not feeling it because I'm drinking this nectar. So if I don't want to feel it, I am feeling it, but I don't want to, then I should drink that nectar. Is that okay?
Thank you.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaji, we are discussing this frustration part. Probably in spiritual life also, makes effort, he fails. Makes efforts, he fails. Makes efforts, he fails. So, it can come in spiritual life also.
But Rupa Goswami, there's two ways of dealing with frustration in spiritual life. One is to give up, and one is to keep going. To give up is the path of sense gratification, really. I can never advance in Krishna consciousness, and mope, and that's just self-indulgent, because it's contrary to the interest of serving Krishna. I just tie myself, I just beat myself up and say that I'm useless, and da 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 da. Alright, you're useless, but get up and serve Krishna. And Rupa Goswami, or Prabhupada, gave the example that as a person who falls on the ground picks himself up by the same ground. You know, pushes on the ground and picks himself up. So the person who fails in devotional service should pick himself up by the same devotional service. In material life, if you fail, then you perform a yajna or you do some prayaschita. But for spiritual life, there's nothing better than devotional service. So if you fail in devotional service, there's nothing else to do. Just carry on with devotional service and keep at it. And Prabhupada said, practice makes perfect. How many of you here have experience of riding a bicycle? Everybody. And that means everyone learned. And how many people, when you were learning, never fell? I know for me, the whole process of learning to ride a bicycle was the process of going a few feet and falling. And then going a few feet again and falling. Because how do you keep that bike straight and not fall to one side or the other side or crash this way or that way? The whole process of learning to ride a bicycle is the process of falling down. But if you stick with it, then you become expert. You don't fall this way, you don't fall that way. You see what you did wrong, you get it straight, you watch others. Then after a while, it becomes a great pleasure. You can ride your bicycle and go wherever you want. And as fast as you want. Within limits. So, if one fails in devotional service, all right, it may be frustrating, but let me carry on. And time has run out, so I guess we stop here. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.